other vehicle quite matches the newly redesigned Mercedes-Benz GLA, so let's compare it to a figure skater. A skater is graceful, but surprisingly strong. The GLA is sleek yet muscular, with sporty front and rear bumpers and a striking grille. Skaters have judges to rate their performance. We think you'll give the GLA a high score once you get behind the wheel. There's never been a better time to experience the 2018 Mercedes-Benz GLA. Visit mbusa.com/GLA to learn more. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we'd like to do for you a song comes from Swaziland. It's a song that I learned from my wife, who learned it from her mother. It's a healing song. And the words say, when I was able and healthy, I had many friends. But now that I am bedridden, I see many smiles on many faces. Bajabula bonke, uma ngilele phansi.
Oh, welcome to the Baucus Black Experience Enhanced tonight. I am coming to you from Tacoma, Washington here, July 26, 2017. Tonight's episode is We Were Taught Not to Forget. As it stated here in my press, we will discuss and examine the irony of how the slave master made it a point that we knew our place on the plantation system and currently wants us to believe that white supremacy does not exist. We will also look at historical events of how the American ethos has shattered our ties with our ancestral cultures. And also, too, ladies and gentlemen out there listening to us, please call in with your comments, questions, knowledge, and your concerns regarding this phenomenon and this issue. And please spread the word that we're on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced Live right now at 646-564-9630. Ladies and gentlemen, when our ancestors were brought here on the slave ships, lying in their own filth, lying in their own body ways, brutalized, chained, packed like sardines, coming over here into the Americas, you know, at the hands of the European. White America wants us to be lullabied by these ass-scratching, chicken-pecking, Yassabossing Uncle Toms that they currently prop up in front of us these current times. They want us to forget the atrocities that were committed against us and want to blame us for our animosities that we currently will have. They made it a point for us not to forget by branding us like cattle as we came off the slave ships here along the coast of the Carolinas, Maryland, Orleans, Louisiana, and what have you. They also made it a point for us not to forget by castrating our menfolk, hanging them on trees, placing their private parts in their mouths when they did this barbarous act. They made it a point for us not to forget as we was hit with the whip, branded with the iron, battered, clubbed, degraded, humiliated, and what have you. But they want us to forget. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this should be an insult to your intelligence as well as mine. As for the simple fact is, they made it a point for us not to forget what their savage treatment of us, but all of a sudden today, currently, they want us to forget all about slavery and that there was in the past. Then you have these in the black community who say the same thing, showing the post-traumatic slave syndrome. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be opening up our switchboard in about the next 3 to 4 minutes or sooner. And this podcast is hit with hashtags, Resurrection of the Mental Dead, Black History, Black Pride, Melanated Empowerment, CNN, NBC, the Chicago Tribune, and Pan-African Economics and Politics. We want to give our shout-outs there to all the RBGs in the Pacific Northwest who are giving a shout-out to you. Definitely we want to give a shout-out there to New Era Detroit of the great work over there doing with the Flint, Michigan water crisis. Also to New Era Chicago as well, too. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be turning it over. We're going to take a caller right here with his input. Okay, caller at area code 410. Last four is 5463. Hey, what's your comment and where you calling from and what's your name and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced.
Well, hey, what's up, my brother? This is Brother Isaiah. I'm calling from Maryland. I'm just listening in.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I just want to say, it's like, they just want us to forget everything as possible, man. Like, they all brainwashing our children, and I'm really tired and I'm sick of it. Like, we need time to take.
Yes, sir.
I mean, like, this
yes,
is
sir.
Out of hand. Those tricking happy pigs get on my nerves, man. They brainwash our kids to tell us that that these cars are excuse me, all protect the land that try to serve us. And, you know, there's all a lot because what they do, because all they do is see our skin color is a threat to them. So that's like we teach our young folks to take a stand and to defend ourselves and trying to protect our brother.
Yes, absolutely, really by all means. Oh, yes, sir. We have, for sure, without a doubt, Brother Isaiah, is because, see, you know, just like 50 years ago, his ancestors brought that point there about the Second Amendment, and this is the hypocrisy that we're going to be talking about, is because, as we all know, that in 1857, that the United States Supreme Court had ruled in the Dred Scott case in its decision, and the Chief Justice had stated, and I'm paraphrasing, is that black people or people of African descent were never intended or cannot be citizens of the United States of America and get the protections of the U.S. Constitution. And currently, with all these police homicides that's going on, these state-sanctioned murders, is what happened with the case with Mr. Castillo recently there in Minneapolis and what have you. You know, they let Yanez walk, you know, the one that murdered Mr. Castillo, and it's kind of like it's the pattern going on, just like what happened with Freddie Gray there back in Baltimore. All charges are dropped. He didn't do anything wrong. Just like with Darren Wilson 3 years ago when he shot and killed Mike Brown. But keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, they're making it a point that we don't forget our place by murdering us in the street, putting it out on social media, leaving a body out there like they did Mario Woods, like they did Mike Brown, in the same manner as they branded and demasculated us on the plantation system in the presence of our children and of our women. So nothing has changed. And like I said, we were taught not to forget. So when these other groups come up here and, you know, and send me the hate mail and crumble them on me on the internet and all this, yeah, well, you people just need to forget it, die, and all this old type of shit. Excuse my language, and let me put my disclaimer out here. This is show is PG, you know, so therefore it's for mature audiences only, and we ask that those who are 18 years of older, please call in, comment, and listen in to the show. And also, too, we want to pay credit to the music that we were listening to at the beginning of the podcast, that there was a song called The Healing Song by the one and only Hugh Master Taylor, recorded at the Village Gate in 1965 live. And so we hope that you all enjoyed that, The Healing Song. Yeah, that's why we pretty much got to turn within to heal ourselves, to make progress for ourselves, and put aside all the division that's going on with our community over the most frivolous and stupidest of stuff. Black man and woman, we are in a state of emergency. They are out to exterminate us. And then when you look up at this current regime that you got going on with this dumbo-looking fool by the name of Jeff Sessions, I believe, who's the attorney general that got appointed by the dump, and the dump is the 45th president. Also, too, I believe that Sessions is a combination of J. Edgar Hoover and George Wallace. They made it a point for us not to forget. So once again, as we all know, the brutalization on the plantation system of, as we mentioned in the beginning of our podcast, for us to keep our place, not to question white supremacy, not to look them in the eye, and also to lose regard for us as human beings. This we cannot do. The ancestors told us this over 50 years ago. Okay, so when the ancestors did tell us this over 50 years ago, what happened after that? They came in there and lullabied us. And I'm addressing all you people out there who say, well, I don't see color guy and this all this old type of stuff like that. And it's like I stated on many of our posts, well, for those of you who don't see color, as I stated on my post, Shabaka Sankara, for those of you who don't see color, you can best believe color sees our black asses and it's real. And this is why they're murdering us. And then the police departments, you know, are giving these guys paid vacations. They're giving them kind of like pretty much what it was, what it is, and what it was back in slavery days when the slaves went out and got captured. They were getting their bounty money. You know, that's how the modern-day police departments, you know, had evolved. You know, these here were the slave catchers, you see. And then they evolved off into the modern-day police departments and still have the same attitude and ethos toward us. This is what I mean in regard to the American ethos of how it still looks at us as subhuman and what have you. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, as we go over here, these situations that's currently affecting us, you know, in a community. And one is that really it hurted us from the plantation system or that's currently going on is the shattering of the black family unit, of how they criminalizing the black male from being in his home, not to be the father, not to be the provider. And the way how he's not the provider is because we don't have no economical resources that we control. We have no major businesses or industries in which we can employ our own manpower to work. And it's very, very sad to see that as I travel through, you know, the major cities here on the western coast of the United States, the majority of people that I see out here panhandling and loitering, having nothing to do, are black males. And my point is on that is that we got to get some innovation going on, and maybe some of these platforms, you know, could unite, you know, to bring about some solutions and innovate, you know, some things there to prevent this from going on. Now, the shattering of the black family unit, as we all know, had started on the plantation system from the days of when our first ancestors came here off the passages. As we know, babies were sold, taken out of their mother's arms, you know, and sold as property. Same thing, fathers from sons, same thing from mothers from daughters, same things from brothers to sisters, and what have you. Then not to mention the fact that the black male was totally demasculated, and then also, too, of the degradation that happened on to him with the castrations and what have you. And I even believe that the former heavyweight champ, Ali, had mentioned this here in one of his lectures about the process of how did that, and also, too, they had approached him, well, don't you think that all men are brothers? And he says, well, how can all men be brothers when one group of men is going to go out to another group of men and castrate them and put their private parts in their mouth? Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, is this, when that type of behavior goes on, not only is it racist, not only is it barbaric, but it is psychotic. And as I've seen across social media of those who are doing positive things in the community from New York to Philadelphia to Chicago down there to Los Angeles, we as a people, ladies and gentlemen, are in a state of emergency, and we are not in our right mind on a collective, cohesive basis. It's because look at all this bullshit that you see out here over the television, over the media, to distract us. We have no innovation in the black community and what have you to upgrade the quality of our lives. They come to us with hypocrisy, big time. And just like in the 1960s, when certain black organizations try to do positive things, you know, for the community, what did they do? They come in there and they criminalize them. Organizations were serving kids, you know, breakfast, you know, in the morning on their way to school. What did the establishment do? Come in there, murder the people, kill the people, pitted the one group against the other, spread lies, use extortion and infiltration tactics to keep us divided, but yet though we're supposed to forget about it and say that we're all the same. But this is just it though, white America. You made it a point for us not to forget. Then you try to erase the brutalization that your people committed against our people here in the educational system, such as I've read a while back that the state of Texas is going to refer to slavery as indentured servitude. And then, of course, we not to mention this speech that this brain-dead coon by the name of Dr. Ben Carson gave about they came here as indentured service. Ladies and gentlemen, I think that Dr. Carson has taken too many of his prescriptions. That man has to be on dope. And he can write his own prescriptions. But however, ladies and gentlemen, for us to sit there and to believe that garbage on a collective basis is an insult to our own intelligence. Now, on our last podcast that we did, or our last few podcasts, we did a show, you know, in honor of the 70th birthday of Tupac's auntie. And she had made a statement in her documentary film, The Eyes of the Rainbow, is that the Black Liberation Movement and the struggle of the Pan-African Movement must not ever be forgotten. And we're to always keep that to move forward as her people. She had also stated that the youth had had something to look up to believe into, to get inspired by, to do positive things for the community. But then what happens? The counterintelligence program, through its illegal tactics, you know, comes in there and destroys it and commits atrocities against us. As J. Edgar Hoover had said, you know, there will not be no black messiah in the United States. The biggest threat to national security was the organization, quote unquote, of Negroes, regardless of the organization. Just the organization, you know, was a threat. So therefore, the propaganda machine that he spread out there, and like Brother Malcolm had said in one of his infamous speeches, the white puppet is gullible enough to believe that through the press. When that organization was out, you know, exercising its Second Amendment rights. And it's very, very interesting, as I had traveled through here in the Pacific Northwest, of how these other groups of people are very open about their Second Amendment rights. Certain signs that I saw, certain flyers posted around the neighborhood, certain little titles on hats and stuff like that, saying guts, God, and guns made America great again. I even saw one out there that stated, you know, if you take away the guns, then gun owners will become outlaws. And these white people say, well, they will go ahead and be the outlaws. So it should be quite evident that the handwriting is on the wall. We have to realize that this ass-scratching, timing, organizing, and marching is not working. We have to get ourselves some resources, people, of some land, organize our own labor, come up with our own risk management, and channel our own capital. And this is what I meant by, on a previous podcast that we did, about these jacklegs and crooked preachers, you know, who is taking in all this tithe money and are not reinvesting back into the black community. But however, that capital could have done a great deal as far as building our commercial infrastructure as well, too. And fortunately, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm happy to say, this time in history, the ass scratchers and the Yasser bosses are on their way out. Let's be thankful for that. Also, too, I'm very, very happy to see the work that Dr. Boyce Watkins is doing out here across the net with his financial Juneteenth. And I believe I read one of Dr. Watkins' statements where he says that either you will become an entrepreneur or you will work for one, you know, in regard to young people, you know, coming out. But however, ladies and gentlemen, please feel free to give us a call here at 646-564-9630 here on Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced. And tonight's subject is what we're talking about is that we were taught not to forget as our topic tonight. And they want us to forget about the horrors of the slave trade. And they made it a point for us not to forget, as being their property, as being three-fifths of the human being, as they said that we were. And then not to mention the fact as well, too, of how post-slavery, or during the Reconstruction era, of how they had the Negroes who were quote-unquote educated to come along here and miseducate us and to keep an even more brain dead. But I find it very, very ironic that these other groups of people that come here prosper. They work their cohesiveness and their cooperative economics. And you don't hear about the police going out there shooting them down there on a regular basis. And these state-sanctioned homicides are pretty much as functioning. The victim gets killed. The police officers that shot them are found not guilty. They get GoFundMe accounts for them. They get paid leave. Ones who have left the force, you know, they get a quite nice separation package, and a lot of them have very, very powerful collective bargaining with their unions. So therefore, when the grand juries, the district attorneys, the governors don't give the people equal protection under the law, and it's quite obvious that these are murders, and they don't do nothing about it, then they definitely have to be in cahoots with the criminals, as Brother Malcolm has said, and that, thus in turn, is your collusion. The sad part about it is that this so-called Congressional Black Caucus, this black leadership, these black athletes, you know, I find it very, very incredible that they don't have the wherewithal, or well, they do have the wherewithal, but they don't take it upon themselves to use their collective economics to pool some resources to prevent this from happening. So I don't know if they don't care. I don't know if they're being told not to do it or not, but something is very, very wrong. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, please like our page and message us at our page on Facebook, Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We'll get back to you, you know, as soon as we can. And also, too, we're going to be trying to come on a weekly basis again in the prime time slots. And definitely stay tuned to our podcast in the future. In addition to, please pull up some of our back episodes. No, excuse me, and play those as well, too, and send us in with your comments, questions, and concerns. And then also, too, we have open mic tonight as well, too, relating to the issues at hand of what we're talking about, of how they taught us not to forget, they want us to forget, you know, in regard to the lullabying, is call up, state how you honestly feel. That is the purpose of this platform. And then also, too, ladies and gentlemen, in the future, we're going to be doing some more shows on Martin Luther King, also, too, on Malcolm in the future. We're going to be doing some of those, and then also two other prominent, you know, figures as well. But then here, I want to go up here and read off of a post that was shared on my wall here earlier, earlier this week, about how they don't want us to forget. And just bear with me here for a few as I scroll down right here on my post, if I can come across it. Okay, but anyway, as I stated, so as they made it a point for us not to forget, all right, then it's up to us to take care of us, is because regardless of what they did against us and they prevent us from doing that, for doing anything, all we got is ourselves, and we can turn to each other and come up with some innovative plans, you know, to cure these social ills and problems that we have. And then, of course, we all know of the social engineering experimentations and things that they did on us in the last few years and few decades, actually, to keep us divided, particularly, you know, in the black family unit. And then also, too, is how all of the mass incarceration, you know, that we have in our communities, of how they're putting so much of our manpower, you know, behind bars, and thus in turn, you know, we don't have any role models in the communities. And then also, too, with all these killings as well, too, that's going on within the black community of us doing this to ourselves. You know, we need our manpower, ladies and gentlemen, so we got to have to put some type of stop on that, you see. And then also, too, it's going to be very, very interesting of how this case turns out of this black police officer that shot this white woman from Australia recently. There back in Minneapolis, and then from what I understand that they had made the police chief resign, you know, behind this. You see, it's very, very interesting of how this is going to turn out, you know, to be two different standards of justice. Now, quote unquote, that the tables are turned, you see. And someone had made a post about the number of lynchings. And this is what I'm looking for right now on a wall. and it was posted to my wall, and I can't seem to come up with it. Oh, boy. Okay, well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, what it was is that a Facebook friend that had put up there the recorded lynchings that Ida B. Wells had done all the way from 1883 all the way up, I would imagine, into the, 1950s or currently what's going on. And Ida B. Wells, as you know, she was a reporter, and she reported on such things, you know, dealing with that, of the massive lynchings that was happening in the South. And then, too, they had made a housing project after her. And she's also the book of author of a book called Southern Horrors. And I'm just scanning the net right here, you know, to see if we can get this list here, which the sister had quoted the number of lynchings. So, ladies and gentlemen, please call in with your comments, questions, and concerns. You know, dealing with our subject tonight, they made it a point for us not to forget. And the irony of the situation is how they wish they want us to forget, and saying that we should get up over it. And that there's an insult to our intelligence on that level. It's for the simple fact is, you know, when other groups of people go through this, they make it a point, you know, for their situations to be heard and voiced and whatnot, and they get their message out. But when it comes to us, you know, they get very, very selective, such as the situation there with Colin Kaepernick there, you know, in the NFL, for him refusing, you know, to stand up for the national anthem and what have you. And then he is going on doing some positive things for the community, and, you know, and they want to come down on him for that, you see. It's just incredible, ladies and gentlemen. It's just really incredible of how they just want us to forget, you know, this brutalization, this terrorism, this torture, and think, you know, that is insignificant. And so, yeah, so we're inviting our callers to call in with their questions, comments, and concerns at 646-564-9630. Please press 1, you know, to speak live on air. And I'm your host, Shabaka Sankaran. Shabaka's Black Experienced Enhanced. Okay, we got a caller here from area code 314, last 444. How you doing this evening, sir? Where are you calling from, and what is your name, and what's your comment?
Well, this is Bianchi. Shabaka, how you doing, man?
Yeah, long time no see, Mr. Bianchi. How have you been, sir? Yeah, and welcome to Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced, and we thank you for calling in. And what are your comments?
I've been doing fine. It seems like you have a pretty good show when you don't have all that distraction. Like I've witnessed in past shows.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as
you
I
know,
said, is that our topic? Yes, sir.
Some
Mr.
people
Bianchi,
just don't know how to act.
Okay. Well, we're discussing and examining the irony of how the slave master made it a point that we knew our place on the plantation system and currently wants us to believe that white supremacy does not exist. And what inspired this show here tonight is, you know, the killings that are going on there, you know, the last few decisions that has been made there in Minneapolis, you know, where Officer Yanez was acquitted and not convicted of murdering Mr. Castile, in addition to with other officers that were cleared in San Francisco, Chicago, let me see, where else, Cleveland, and whatnot. And we were also mentioning is that how we were taught not to forget, you know, by the brutalization of the slave master's whip, the brutalization of our women in our presence by him, also too mainly the demasculization of the black male in the presence of the family unit as well, too, and how this post-traumatic syndrome, you know, is still affecting us today, that is killing our cohesiveness, which is also killing our, or we're not allowing us to build our own infrastructures, you know, for our progress. So what's your comments on that there, Mr. Bianchi?
Well, I don't look at white supremacy the way most people talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
White supremacy is the fact that some entity wants to control everything from an economic standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And as we look at it now, and it's changing, it's not remaining the same, is that this will happen when you look at those areas, you're talking about white individuals. But as I said before, it's changing.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing all the time.
Okay, how so is it changing? Okay, how so is it changing?
Well, you have, for instance, look at the nation of Nigeria. Nigeria controls close to 30% of the offshore oil well drilling in the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those numbers are continuing to go up. So that means that Exxon, Chevron, and others, they're cutting into their profits. Cutting into their market, should I say.
Right.
The same thing is going on with power generation, too.
Okay. All righty. Enlighten us on that, Mr. Bianchi.
Well, you have countries that are beginning to answer the need for their own desires, what they need in order to take their communities, their nations forward. The Pentagon is starting to recognize that also.
Okay. All right. So why would this interest the Pentagon?
Because the United States military does things for U.S. businesses.
Mm-hmm. Well, of
which
course,
also
well, we
can,
all know that.
Which also can include African-American businesses that they was to so have some, you know, in other parts of the world.
Okay.
So they are recognizing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now why is it that they would want us to forget these atrocities that they committed on us, you know, on the plantation system for the 275 years that we were brought here, and then on top of the 150 years on top of that? And why is that these educational scholars, you know, try so much to derail our economical progress, also to try to derail us for reaching out on a Pan-African basis and combining our economical resources, you know, with our people there in the motherlands and also too in the whole African diaspora?
Well, there's nothing stopping any African-American from pursuing economic prowess, not only in Africa, but the Caribbean also. They just got to want to do it, have
the
capability to do it.
Okay, but what about in the United States? Yes, sir.
Well, you mentioned
I agree with you. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned about having land. There's still about 23 settlements in Oklahoma that's all black.
Okay.
Taft, Oklahoma is one. The mayor goes around the country and lectures trying to get blacks to come there. You have the ones there in South Carolina. You have the ones there in Warren County, North Carolina. And you have other ones. One out there, Whitworth in California.
Wait, what people got to want to. California, you say? Okay, no, but what city
Whitworth.
Was that you said in California again?
It's Whitworth. It's Whitworth, yes.
How is it spelled?
W-I-T-H-W-R-T-H.
Okay.
Whitworth, California.
All righty, yeah, okay. Yes, sir. Okay, all righty. Noted. Okay. All right. But also, too, I really do appreciate the work that Dr. Boris Watkins is doing on the great seminars that he's holding, the knowledge that he is spreading and dropping, and also, too, of how he is showing some of the young black entrepreneurs that are coming up here with social media, you know, technology and what have you, and that is definitely some industries that we need to control, and also, too, on the continent, we need to control the raw materials of it as well, too.
Well,
because, as
Africans
you know,
themselves
China,
ain't going to let you come over there and control. Africans themselves ain't going to let you come over and control their land.
Okay, could you?
I don't care who you are.
Okay, Okay, well, wait a minute, though, sirs, because I've seen numerous material on various nations from Zimbabwe and Ghana, and I believe Sierra Leone as well, too, that were inviting Africans in America to travel to the motherland and to invest off in businesses right there.
Well, you're going to invest with some other people that's there. They're not going to let you control their land. They don't let anybody control their land. I don't care who you are.
Okay, well, as Dr. Marimba Ani did say, that reconnection, you know, is painful and it will take time, is because I'm of the opinion is that the damage that has got us messed up psychologically due to this brutalization of what they want us to forget when we were taught not to forget, which is the hypocrisy of it. You know, it's going to take time. And you have to spoon feed this type of knowledge. You have your own
educational system. You can teach your children whatever you want to. Blacks tried to do that, but one of the big problems was the inability to pay the tuition. Now you have a president that's pushing school choice with vouchers, and blacks should be on Betsy DeVos to go forward with that idea and make it happen. If you got vouchers,
that woman
down in Ohio that put her child in the school district of her father and got caught and was faced with 5 years in prison, the black woman up there in New Jersey that done the same thing.
Sir.
Rolling their children in an adjacent school district and got caught and was facing prison time. Well, that wouldn't have been a problem because they would have had the tuition to pay for the child attending those school districts.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this in regard to Buffalo, New York, is that there was a sister who had homeschooled her child. She went through all the proper channels and procedures of letting the school districts know and the state educational department know of that she will be homeschooling her child. And then they filed charges against her for child neglect, not having a child enrolled in school. You see, so we got to look at these collusions as well, too, not only with the police department murdering us and not being prosecuted for it, you know, getting away with it, but also to in addition to what they're doing us to us in the medical field, the educational field, the commercial field as well, too. Case in point, when you look at Silicon Valley, California, you know, they got a workforce, man, of black people, man, there of less than 3%. You see, and Silicon Valley, man, that's where all your HP is headquartered at, your Google, your Facebook, your YouTube, your Twitter, let me see, Pandora's Box, Ask.com, Art.com, and the list goes on and on and on.
But the question is, are you producing students? Are you producing personnel with those type of skills?
Okay.
I know a gentleman here
again
in the St. Louis area
that's
a medical technician, and he say he's trying his best to find blacks who are medical technician engineers to hire. So you have to work to produce that type of labor force so that they can either be hired by somebody else, or if you have your own companies, more of them, then you can hire those individuals yourself.
Okay, or have them become innovators and entrepreneurs like Dr. Watkins, you know, has been emphasizing on. And the sad part about it is, though, Bianca, when you look at it, not too far from you is that during the birth of the Industrial Revolution, what would that there would be? During a Reconstruction era up to, say, about the first quarter of the 20th century, you know, you had a lot of blacks, you know, who were entrepreneurs and business people and made great inventions. Garrett Morgan, you know, who invented the gas mask and a streetlight, but due to institutionalized racism and hatred and white supremacy, a lot of their ideas were stolen and copywritten because, you know, blacks, you know, they couldn't even copyright their inventions or their ideas or their works. And
blacks was patenting inventions back in the early 1800s.
Okay, enlighten us, sir.
Well, they were. You just have to go and Google inventions and patents, and you see where African American was patenting inventions as early as the 1800s.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Did Garrett Morgan patent his gas mask and his stoplight?
Well, stoplights, if he invented a stop, he invented the first stoplights because they had stoplights over in Europe. I don't know what the claim is here in the United States.
Okay, but from what I understand about Garrett Morgan, the first thing that brought him to light was is the gas masks, because let me see, about 100 years ago, they were building, you know, all the tubes of you know, for sewers, I would imagine as well too for sanitation and whatnot, and they would dig under the ground and they would hit these pockets of gas, you know, that were highly flammable. And in Cleveland, I believe 1912 or 1913, is that they had a massive explosion of a lot of these men trapped underground and couldn't get out. And Morgan had put together this device of where he could breathe air, filtering out, you know, the noxious fumes or the poisonous fumes, and he had allegedly had saved so many men. And then word had spread around the country, I would imagine, through the press at that time, the printed press, you know, which would have been way back then, like with social media is today, and the telegraph was this great thing that he did. And then there's something, too, in regard to the stoplight that he did, and General Electric had gotten it. And also, too, there's information is that Thomas Edison had stolen another brother's idea in regard to the telephone as well, too. But as you know, Bianca, as they stated, if you never wanted a black person to know nothing, put it off in a book, okay? And that's another thing about the emphasis of homeschooling and doing our own educational thing, you know, to set up some positive practices for our youth, you know, as opposed to going out there looking at all the stupid stuff that you would see out here in social media and whatnot. But as we're emphasizing on, now there in your neck of the woods there, St. Louis, could you shed some light on the Dred Scott case there, and when the U.S. Supreme Court had ruled that we, people of African descent, were never intended to be citizens and cannot be citizens?
Anybody born in this country is a citizen, but with the 14th Amendment. That was before the 14th Amendment.
Uh-huh. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. Okay. Now, as you know, there was a property clause involved with the Dred Scott cases, because he was viewed upon as property, and then there was something there in regard to the Missouri Compromise, because I believe Missouri, Illinois, Arkansas, Louisiana was all part of the Louisiana Purchase. And it was something that they had specified that they would not have slavery or pre slaves into that, or that they were supposed to place some type of limitation or regulation on slavery itself, as opposed to how it was commonly brutal on Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. And then the Supreme Court had ruled with Scott going into these quote-unquote free territories while he was in Wisconsin, is that he was free. And so he petitioned, you know, the court, you know, to be free. But then he was brought back to Missouri to his slave master, who was a military officer who was traveling. And then they also used to lease him out, his wife.
Well, that was the cause of the Fugitive
yes,
Slave Act. But those things all passed now. There's nothing keeping black people
okay.
from going any place they want. Like I said before, they got about 25 settlements out
uh-huh.
there in Oklahoma. And if blacks
uh-huh.
want to go out, these settlements have infrastructure. If blacks group wants to go out and settle those areas, nothing's stopping them.
Oh, okay. So now, do they have their own sovereignty, such as Native American or
no,
Indian
they're part
tribes?
No, they're part of the state.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. But they don't have their own sovereignty.
No, we got black town across the river from me, Brooklyn, Illinois. That's part of Illinois.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now, also too, what I was going to get at as well too, I wanted to emphasize a little bit on, is looking at the contribution to the gross domestic product that the slave themselves have produced just off the slave market itself as it thrived, and not to mention all of the cotton, of how it contributed to the gross national product, also to the tobacco that they picked, also to various other vegetables and produce that they had picked as well, too, of how it contributed to the gross national product. Now, answer me this here, and you're a very, very intelligent man there, Mr. Pianchi. When did black people in the United States of America petition the U.S. government to become citizens here? Because from all practical purposes, from my perspective, I simply look at what we are prisoners of war.
Well, if some people want to consider themselves that, they're perfectly fine to do so. Most African Americans are citizens of the United States by way of the 14th Amendment. Whites are also. A Japanese born here, their children, Nigerians born here, their children are citizens of the United States by way of the 14th Amendment.
Okay, now let me ask you this. Okay, now with the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that we were never intended to be citizens here, people of African descent, would block the 14th, 15th, and 13th Amendments? Because after all, I mean, come on, man, let's be real about something here. We had a black president, man. We didn't get equal protection under the law as per the 14th Amendment, and we still ain't getting it with the police murdering us. Because you got a collusion that's going on.
Police are employees. You, the employer, set the policy by which your employees operate under. If you don't want your employees engaging in high-speed tests and high-speed chases, mm-hmm. like we have some municipalities that's black around here mm-hmm. that don't allow their police to engage in high-speed chases, they don't engage in high-speed mm-hmm. chases. If you have a police mm-hmm. officer, you put the policy, if you fear for your life, you're supposed to retreat and call for backup, then that's the policy. If they don't do it, mm-hmm. then they are in violation of that policy, and that's what they are tried on.
I see. Okay, now, what is the factors that allow all these police officers who have went out commit blatant, flagrant murder, and that they are not being prosecuted, the charges are being dropped against him? And also, too, I want to mention in regard to the Freddie Gray case, when they did that, you know, as part of the collusion to murder us and exterminate us, Ms. Mosby, who was the state attorney, I believe, who was there that went on there to prosecute these officers, she herself was threatened with being disbarred. Now, what's up with that?
Well, I don't know.
Doing her job.
I don't know about Baltimore. But as I said before, mm-hmm. that municipalities have the control over their employees, which include police, fire, trash men, and other employees mm-hmm. in that nature. If you set the policy mm-hmm. on how they are to operate and behave, that is the policy.
Mm-hmm.
If they break the policy, then they can be fired and gotten rid of. If they go out and blatantly do something that they was instructed and trained not to do, then they, mm-hmm. you know, they can face the consequences.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but Mr. Pianchi, my point is that there's all part of the Kool-Aid, man. It's because, you know, our people went out there, died for civil rights. You even had people who went out there, got murdered and were extorted during the Black Liberation Movement. But it always seemed to be the same thing. When it comes to us, man, we are third and fourth class citizens here in the United States. Even in some of the other nations around the world, they're sitting out here, they're giving travel advisories to their citizens. I know that down here in Barbados and the Bahamas, of black people coming here to the United States of fear of being murdered by the police of what's going on. And it's on a spike. And then also, too, another point of hypocrisy. Yes, sir.
Your chance of being murdered by somebody black is a lot greater than being murdered by a police officer. But as I said before, people in Ferguson make up 70-75% of the population are black. If they don't come out and vote the white mayor out, then whose fault is it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, but why isn't the elections working? And then in addition to, as I stated on some of my posts about these black politicians who's constantly selling us down the toilet. You see what I mean? They've been doing that, man, you know, for the last 50 years of that I know it. Tom Bradley did it in Los Angeles to the black community. Let me see, and who's the crooked-ass mayor up in Detroit, Michigan? Kwame Kilpatrick, they gave him 20 years selling out the black community. The mayor of Compton, California, California about 20 years ago, the L.A. County District Attorney's Office, go in there, arrest the mayor, arrest the city attorney, or go in there and arrest three council members for allowing them for the Aluminum Corporation of America and IBM to come in there and dump toxic waste, you know, say, in the areas of Compton, California, thus going by.
Well, you don't have some good
disease.
Black mayors.
So
you had them.
Okay, but sir, the point is, what I'm making is this. What sense does it make for us to go out here to tolerate, organize, march, elect black politicians, man, who ain't going to do nothing for us? I mean, look at
Barack
Obama's president.
I'll give you an example. Like Maynard Jackson down in Atlanta, blacks voted him in.
Okay.
He's a very good mayor. He produced black millionaires.
Mm-hmm.
In the airport project,
mm-hmm.
he said this amount of money is going to black contractors. And you still have those multi-million dollar contractors down in Atlanta today that's doing major projects. St. Louis, Freeman Bosley, a good black mayor.
Okay.
Harold Washington in Chicago, a good black mayor.
Mm-hmm.
You have good black mayors all over the place. It's up to the people to vote and stay abreast. The people are supposed to announce what it is that they want to see done, change, find a person, support them, elect them, and go at it like that. You got a mayor down in Jackson, Mississippi. His son, the son of, and I can't think of the brother's name, but his father was a very strong attorney and also activist for black people.
Mm-hmm.
So you have just like anything
else. Are you talking about
Medgar Evers? No.
Okay,
but
are you talking about
Chuckaway Lumumba?
Okay.
All
right.
So
all
blacks in America are not the same. I don't know why I hear some people trying to make it be like that, but all blacks are not the same.
Well, that's due to a lack of cohesiveness, is because what I mean is, when it comes to group economics, when I look at all that wealth over there in Silicon Valley, the majority of the people who get those high-paying jobs, those high professional jobs over there are, you know, from these other nations. And what they do is that they pool their resources, they start buying up real estate left and right. And, you know, they don't, you know, employ blacks. A lot of times, you know, they don't
want
blacks coming
into their
establishment.
Well, they do. You got Nigerians,
yes,
and you got blacks from other African countries that's working in these positions left and right.
Mm-hmm.
They just as black as Wesley Snipes.
Okay.
Well,
as
I said,
enlighten us, bro.
You got Nigerians that's here in the United States that's working in high tech, medical, and science, and chemistry, even in general construction.
Okay. All righty. Okay.
Go down in Houston.
Well,
look at the tracts of land that Nigerians are controlling. The block of businesses that they have.
Really? Oh, okay. Yeah, I have to research that. Okay. Well, that is definitely a good thing to hear. Now, also too, as Brother Malcolm and I believe Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, who was then the president of Ghana at that time, had emphasized that the international cooperation, you know, of economical resources and what have you, is because basically we are still, you know, consumers, you know, or as a major group, and we have to emphasize more of becoming producers. But as I said, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Pianca, we definitely appreciate your input tonight, as we're down to our last couple of minutes right here, and I'm going to close the show out. We appreciate our callers calling in there from Maryland and what have you. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, you're here listening to Chewbacca's Black Experience Enhanced. Please go to our Facebook like page of the same name. And please stay posted there, ladies and gentlemen, of our next and upcoming episodes. And we thank you so very, very much for listening.
All right, I'll see you later.
Good night. Yes, sir.
No other vehicle quite matches the newly redesigned Mercedes-Benz GLA. So let's compare it to a figure skater. A skater is graceful, but surprisingly strong. The GLA is sleek yet muscular, with sporty front and rear bumpers and a striking grille. Skaters have judges to rate their performance. We think you'll give the GLA a high score once you get behind the wheel. There's never been a better time to experience the 2018 Mercedes-Benz GLA. Visit mbusa.com/GLA to learn more. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. No other vehicle quite matches the newly redesigned Mercedes-Benz GLA, so let's compare it to a figure skater. A skater is graceful, but surprisingly strong. The GLA is sleek yet muscular with sporty front and rear bumpers and a striking grille. Skaters have judges to rate their performance. We think you'll give the GLA a high score once you get behind the wheel. There's never been a better time to experience the 2018 Mercedes-Benz GLA. Visit mbusa.com/GLA to learn more. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.